One year during my last ministry, the city of Harrisburg saw a spike in the murder rate. During a particularly hot and humid summer, the rate went from one a month to one a week. Every one of these murders was of a young black man shot by another. For a small city, this spike in violent crime was dismaying. Unlike a city like Philadelphia that averages the murder of one African American every single day, Harrisburg, Pennsylvania is a much less dangerous place for black people to live. 70% African American itself, the year the murder rate spiked, Harrisburg enjoyed a black mayor, a black chief of police, and almost all black city council. It also had a strong coalition of black clergy who were outraged by the violence and chose to act. As one of the few white ministers with a church in the city of Harrisburg, I was invited to join this coalition. Personally, it was not hard at all for me to accept this invitation, though my congregation was unsure about its involvement. The name the black Christian ministers chose for our coalition was Heeding God's Call, a line taken from the Bible. The coalition decided that it would hold a prayer service at the murder site after each killing. The press would be invited, as would the victim's family, and everyone else was welcome too. I wish I could have been more surprised by the resistance of my congregation, but I have ministered to white liberals for some time now. Why do they have to use God in the name? One humanist asked. Why does it have to be a prayer service? Griped another member who wanted a secular response to the violence. Why do we have to sing the Christian songs? Why didn't they ask us to help plan the service? Why don't the memorial services ever start on time? Wouldn't we be more effective if we were lobbying on this effort? Why do we have to have these services outside and in scary neighborhoods? Why? Why is it so hard for us to go along with something someone else has planned? I thought to myself. Despite some real resistance, members of my congregation and I did consistently show up at these memorial services, rain or shine, summer or winter. The news media showed up too. The form and the content of the services were effective, but the presence of cameras presented another problem. It seemed that at each of the services, the news media would hone in on me or another white person for comment. Generally, a reporter would find me dressed in a suit and looking fairly ministerial and would ask me for my reaction to the recent killing. I spoke eagerly the first time. After all, here was a chance to get my name and my church's name on the evening news. But one interview was all it took to realize that my speaking on camera was not helpful. It was, in fact, part of the problem. Every word I said on camera was one fewer word that a black person would get to say. If I used my own white privilege to make statements on behalf of people of color, I simply betrayed them once more. I quickly realized that these prayer vigils were not about me. They were not about my congregation. So I began redirecting reporters and camera crews to black ministers and black participants. I won't lie to you and say that I did this easily. I didn't. When you really want to spread Unitarian Universalism, it's awfully hard to give up precious airtime. But the racial justice work was not about me. It was about saving one black life at a time. in a recent review of the movie Selma, a film about the violent days leading up to the Voting Rights March Martin Luther King Jr. led from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama. Aisha Hauer, who's the DRE at our church in Bellevue, Washington, confesses, "I went to see the movie Selma excited to see UUs portrayed as part of one of the most important marches in our nation's history. Reverend James Reeb is there, so is Viola Liuzzo, killed by the KKK. Yet the words Unitarian Universalist are never mentioned in the film," she says. And when Martin Luther King is told of Reeb's death, he is told it was a priest from Boston. UUs are in the film, but only if you know where to look for them. Then she goes on to say, "Then I was disappointed in myself for falling into the trap of making this about me. And I reflected on how UUs engage in ally work. Our denomination is predominantly white, so most of our social justice work is done as allies with people of color. We have engaged in this work with mixed results," she admits. Just as the prayer services hosted by Heeding God's Call were not about me, Selma is not about us. One of the things I liked most about this film is how unapologetically it is shot from the black point of view. No white saviors in the telling of this story. Yes, Martin Luther King Jr. puts out a call to religious leaders like Dana McLean Greeley and Arthur Jellis, but they are joining something already in progress. They are to play a supporting role to the African-American leaders whose lives have been on the line for a long, long time. White people are needed in the struggle, needed as followers, needed as supporters, needed as common, ordinary marchers. The hundreds of Unitarian Universalists, lay people and clergy alike, who responded to King's call to Selma, arrived knowing that this important moment in time was not about them. And yet, in the last 50 years, I wonder if we UUs might have forgotten the importance of following. What if we engaged in current day anti-racism work not as the leaders, but as the followers? What effectiveness might we achieve if we could humble ourselves enough to make the work of racial justice not about us? In his 1962 book commemorating the 100th anniversary of black emancipation, James Baldwin uses the old rhyme to set the stage. "God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, the fire next time. No more water, the fire next time." In alluding to the great flood depicted in the book of Genesis, Baldwin lifts up the many ways that a people might be destroyed. And even though the rainbow is God's promise to Noah and his descendants that God will never again destroy the earth's inhabitants by flood, God has other means at her disposal. The fire next time that Baldwin refers to is exactly the fire that has been burning in America since 1762 and 1862 and 1962 and up until today. The fire burns now in places like Ferguson, Missouri, and Brooklyn, New York, and Los Angeles, California, and as of yesterday, Madison, Wisconsin. It burns in Dorchester and Roxbury and Lowell. And what fuels this fire? We do. People who believe that they deserve privilege fuel this fire. White greed and white indifference fan its flames. Also reviewing the movie Selma, former UUA President Reverend John Buren says, 50 years after the events of Selma, it is disheartening that racial inequality continues in our country. But then he goes on to say, as my old friend William Sloan Coffin once said, if you find yourself feeling disillusioned, especially about something as difficult as ending racism in America, try asking yourself why you had so many illusions in the first place. And this is the spiritual struggle that we 21st century Unitarian Universalists find ourselves in. We care deeply, maybe according to Coffin, too deeply. We try earnestly, maybe too earnestly. We want action quickly, maybe too quickly. And we want to accomplish racial equality without too much personal sacrifice, thank you very much. If you find yourself feeling disillusioned, try asking yourself why you had so many illusions in the first place. Or as I like to frequently ask myself, what did I come out to the desert to see? 50 years ago this weekend, when Dana McLean Greeley and the UUA Board of Trustees moved their meeting to Alabama to respond to Martin Luther King Jr.'s call for help, did they do it as a publicity stunt? Of course not. When Arthur Jellis, minister of this church, and many of his colleagues left their pulpits and traveled to Selma, did they do it to spread Unitarian Universalism? Of course not. When Viola Liuzzo left her home in Detroit to drive Freedom Riders and make sandwiches and stand as one of the crowd, did this UU laywoman think that she would be martyred? Of course not. Selma was not about the UUA president or the board of trustees. It was not about the minister of this church or his colleagues. It was not about Viola Liuzzo, even though she and James Reeb lost their lives there. Selma was about something bigger than individual UUs. It was about something bigger than the right of African Americans to register to vote. It was about something bigger than Governor George Wallace's bigotry. It was about something bigger even than Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Selma was not about us. And the struggle for racial equality in 2015 is not about us either. Thanks be to God. One of the most amusing aspects of being part of heeding God's call was how more than a few non-UUs never could get our name right. You have to admit, Unitarian Universalism is a mouthful. 10 syllables with 2 capital U's. Who thought that up? At those prayer services, I heard everything. I heard that we were Universal Unitarians. We were Unity Universalists. We were Unitarian Unificationists. We were often just UUAs, whatever that is, and my favorite, Unitarians United. Most people in our city neighborhood just referred to us as the church on Market Street with the green doors. Most had no idea what we believed or what we did on a Sunday morning, and most didn't care. They cared because we showed up. They cared because we were some stubborn white people that didn't seem to scare off easily. They cared because many of our neighbors had been in our church building for one reason or another, and they knew that we were kind. They cared because we had found a way to make this hard work not about us. I don't care if you call me a unification unicorn. Just as long as you know that I am with you because I care. Being allies to African Americans means staying engaged in the struggle without needing the spotlight to be on us. It means redirecting the attention to the ones whose lives are on the line, It means getting out of the way and shutting up a lot. This will not be easy for us. I know us. We are quite used to be the ones who are doing the talking. But if we UUs have learned anything at all in the 50 years since Selma, it should be that we can help, but to help best, we must follow. It is not about us, nor should it be. The struggle is the struggle is the struggle. May we build on the work that has been done and face the fires of our time. So be it. Amen.